Radio Daily for Anti-Friday. It's with us again, but it's the last one ever of this month. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's one way of looking at it. Hey there. Welcome to October 29th, 2018. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com.
Ding.
You know us from Facebook and Twitter and places other than that. The folks bringing it to you today, the lady who's going to get through it just fine, that there is the Flintstress.
No, I'm good, but I could use some caffeine.
I bet you could.
I could always.
Well, there is that. Hey, I'm the guy who just gets stuff done. Let's not worry about labels. Well, maybe a little. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm not a quack. I'm a mad scientist. Different.
I mean, it's just as easy to do these things right as it is to wrong. What happened this fine day, yo?
In 1675, German mathematician Leibniz introduces the long S. It's like that long, curvy S that denotes an integral in calculus equations.
1878, Willigott T. Odner is granted a patent for a calculating machine that performs multiplications using repeated additions.
In 1945, the first mass-produced ballpoint pen is available in the U.S., the Reynolds Rocket Pen. It goes on sale at Gimbel's department store in New York, and it costs $13.
Wow. 1969, the first computer-to-computer connection in history is established over a 50 kbps AT&T phone line between an SDS Sigma 7 operated by a team under Professor Leonard Kleinreich at the University of California, and an SDS 940 operated by a team under Douglas Engelbart at the Stafford Research Institute, marking the birth of ARPANET.
In 1981, the Amusement Machine Operators of America, or AMOA, for short, their show was held Thursday, October 29th through Saturday, October 31st at the Conrad Hilton Hotel in Chicago. The Atari exhibit features Asteroids, Centipede, and Tempest.
Ooh, 1988, Sega releases the groundbreaking Mega Drive video game console in Japan, featuring a 32-bit Motorola processor crippled by a 16-bit bus. No! The fourth generation console will be on the market for 2 years before the Super Nintendo.
In 91, the space probe Galileo Figaro passes within 997 miles at a speed of 5 miles per second of Gaspra, becoming the first human object to fly past an asteroid.
1998, U.S. astronaut John Glenn, at age 77, is launched into space aboard the space shuttle Discovery. Glenn first, of course, made history in 62 as the first American to orbit the Earth.
Huh. In 99, Miramax releases the anime film Princess Mononoke, directed by Hayao Miyazaki, featuring the voice talents of Billy Crudup, Claire Danes, Minnie Driver, and Billy Bob Thornton.
2001, SNK Playmore of Japan, best known for producing Neo Geo arcade and home games, shuts down.
Mm. In 2008, Venezuela launches its first satellite from Sichuan, China.
2009, India bans prepaid mobile telephones in Kashmir over fears that terrorists could use them to trigger bombs while hiding their identities.
Yeah, burner phones are no joke. 2015, China announces the end of the one-child policy after 35 years.
Well, it's about time for that. So then, birthdays?
Richard Brand Castellano is 34 from Power Rangers Mystic Force, Power Rangers Operation Overdrive.
Shailen Simmons is 35 from Final Destination 3, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, and Tucker and Dale versus Evil, something you should watch this Halloween
Funny.
Season.
Ben Foster is 37 from 1114, The Punisher, X3, 30 Days of Night, and Warcraft.
Andrew Lee Potts is 39 years of age from 1408, Return to the House on Haunted Hill, Primeval, and Dracul.
Brendan Fair is 41 from X-Men First Class, Guardians of the Galaxy, Bones, Night Shift, and Days of Our Lives.
Winona Ryder is 47 from Beetlejuice, Heathers,
Beetlejuice.
Edward Scissorhands, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Reality Bites, Mr. Deed, Star Trek, and Frankenweenie. Always and Stranger Things.
Yeah. Rufus Sewell is 50 from Dark City, A Knight's Tale, The Legends of Zorro, The Illusionist, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and the 2014 Hercules.
Hercules. Dan Castellaneta is 61. That's Homer from The Simpsons, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, The Genie in the Aladdin sequels, Space Jam, and Fantastic Four.
That's an eclectic career. Kate Jackson is 70 from Dark Shadows, Charlie's Angels, obviously, Satan's School for Girls, Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Richard Dreyfuss is 71 years of age from Valley of the Dolls, Jaws, Close Encounters, Stand By Me, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. What about Bob? James and the Giant Peach. The man is a treasure.
No longer with us, born in 1925, Robert Hardy from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Thunderpants, and Cornelius Fudge in Harry Potter.
I'm betting Thunderpants is not on TV today.
Nope. CBS has a new The Neighborhood and Happy Together. Magnum is approached by an aging tycoon who wants help locating his lost love, who supposedly contacted him recently, despite being dead for over 30 years, on a new Magnum PI and also Bull.
ABC's new Dancing with the Stars and The Good Doctor.
On NBC, we get a new The Voice, a And a very Wicked Halloween for you Broadway fans, celebrating 15 years of Wicked on Broadway.
On Fox, it's a new episode of The Resident, and then Awful People on 911.
Yes. On the CW, we get a new Arrow, yay. And then the team takes a trip through time to the Salem Witch Trials in the 1690s Massachusetts on a new Legends of Tomorrow.
Freeform, it's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
AMC has Halloween H2O.
Oh, the direct sequel to Halloween that brings Jamie Lee Curtis back.
Is that the seventh one?
Sure. Maybe even the Disney XD. Kaz becomes friends with a sky racer, convinces him to steal some hidden dangerous hyperfuel from somewhere in Jaeger's office in a new Star Wars Resistance.
Dun, dun, dun. On CMT, we get Overboard, the new one with Anna Faris.
Okay. FX, we get Ghostbusters, the new one.
Ah. On FXX, we get a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror marathon still. Yay, Halloween.
FXM, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Wait a minute, it's Halloween.
On IFC, we get House of Wax.
Oh, Paris Hilton dies. That's the room. Lifetime Television.
For women.
Live PID presents Women on Patrol.
Women on Paw Patrol, sorry.
Yep.
BBC America has The Birds and Psycho. That's a good Halloween lineup.
Sci-Fi Channel is showing The Haunting of Connecticut 2, Ghost in Georgia, because, you know, Connecticut's in Georgia. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because an art gallery assistant ends up in a high-stakes auction world of priceless art, but soon discovers she's at the center of a million-dollar conspiracy and faces danger when a desperate stalker tries to keep the truth hidden.
What?
Alexis Lemire and Jordi Villasasso star in The Art of Murder.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Jennifer and Chad are gobsmacked by Abby and Stefan's alien wedding bombshell. So wait, does that make them stabby? Sarah gives Maggie details about her fiancé, and Maggie's like, how do you know those details? Sammy asks for Kayla's help to prove the mystery man is EJ, forgetting, of course, that you can check the prints, the DNA, look under the bandages. Filled with guilt about Nicole, Brady turns around to Eve. Every now and then he gets a little bit lonely and she's never come around. Hashtag Chappy. Forever?
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do.
When I'm finding that subscriptions to Amazon Prime, Netflix, and Hulu are not enough, I have my local librarian help me use Link Plus. If you want to look it up online, it's that character from Zelda, then the plus sign.
And it's just that easy.
Huh.
It's a good way to make it happen, so make sure you push that button on your keyboard. If you don't know where it is, or if you want to give people great directions where it is, either way, we're good. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
At least it's not the Tingle Plus. Nobody needs that.
Dust off your top hat and polish up your brass goggles. It's time for the 10th annual Geek Gala, Gears and Ghouls, the geekiest Halloween party in the South. Join us Saturday, November 3rd at Noah's Event Center in Charlotte, North Carolina for a night of steampunk and sugar skulls. Strut your stuff and show off your cosplay in the costume contest. Test your knowledge in the trivia challenge. Or, if you think you got the moxie, enter the Geek's Got Talent contest for a chance to win a $200 cash prize. We will also be raffling off our amazing geeky goodie baskets filled to the brim with spectacular items. Raffle tickets are $1 each, with all proceeds going to benefit the Dave Thomas Foundation. The gala will be hosted by the adorably naughty Podcasting's Rich Siegfried and will include musical performances from Valentine Wolf, Matricula, comedy rock god Mikey Mason, and the Extraordinary Contraptions. Tickets and information available at geekgala.com.
Warning, the Geek Gala is not intended for small children or for those without a sense of humor.
You will not want to miss this extraordinary evening.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
He's so cute.
Yeah, you do. I made sure you do. Hey, welcome back to it. It is your Anti-Friday edition. Let's see what you did. What did they see, yo?
This week's 10, last week's 20, opened in more theaters, but I still would have thought it would have done a lot better because I saw a ton of ads for it. Mid-90s made $3 million. It's made a little over $3 million in 2 weeks.
That's that 90s movie. And this week's 9, last week's 8, Night School, another $3.2 million, 71.4 in 5 weeks on a 29 budget.
This week's 8, last week's 6, Smallfoot, made $4.75 million. It's made almost $73 million in 5 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 5, First Man, $4.9 million, 37.8 in 3 weeks on a $59 million budget.
This week's 6, last week's 6, The Hate U Give. I just finished reading this book. It's amazing. I've heard that the movie is really good. It's made like $18 million in 4 weeks.
This week's 5 is brand new, Hunter Killer, the weird parallel side story to Terminator's Machines That Hunt Down Humans. That's not it. $6.6 million.
Right. This week's 4, last week's 4, Ghostbumps 2, Haunted Halloween-aloo, made $7.5 million. It's made a little over 38 in 3 weeks.
This week's 3, last week's 3, Venom. Another $10.8 million, $187 million in 4 weeks and a $100 million budget. There was a time when people didn't know if this was going to do well.
Oh, it had legs. This week's 2, last week's 2, A Star is Born, made another $14 million. It's made almost $149 million on a $36 million budget. Yeah. I've heard this movie is also phenomenal.
The number one movie in America is still Halloween. 2018. $32 million, $126.6 in 2 weeks on a $10 million budget. A lot of people are getting raises because of that.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News. Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. And now, the final piece of the puzzle that geeks have been worrying over, NBC has announced a December 20th air date for the two-hour telemovie finale of its time travel drama, Timeless.
To what, commemorate It's a Wonderful Life? Odd.
The series followed Rufus, Malcolm Barrett, a scientist, Wyatt, Matt Lanter, a soldier, and Lucy, Abigail Spencer, a history professor who attempted to prevent the destruction of our world as we all know it by an organization known as Rittenhouse, who is using time travel to manipulate history.
And each time they hoped their next leap would take them home.
That's a different show. Creators Sean Ryan from The Shield and Eric Kripke from the Ghostbusters, Super Ghostbusters, you know what I mean, return to finale, which will wrap the storylines up left by the second season cliffhanger. TV veteran John Showalter is helming the entire double-sized episode. The next day will be followed by fanboys bemoaning the unnecessary diversity and the Kickstarter to refilm this plot with a better script. That's going to be announced.
And now Rufus doesn't want to travel to the past or the present.
Which is why the sensible among us will make a better future. So long, Timeless! We're glad you got a chance to go out on your own terms, and if the future is anything like today, it will simply be that you will get remade in like 8 years' time. Says so right here in this David Rittenhouse journal. I'm telling you the truth. My name is Buck Rogers, and this thing came from outer space.
Short-term 12 director Destin Daniel Cretton is set to helm the feature adaptation of Scott McCloud's acclaimed graphic novel, The Sculptor. The project has been picked up by Warner Brothers and will soon head to the big screen.
McCloud.
Warner Brothers picked up the project in a competitive situation involving multiple offers. The package includes Cretton as a director and Mitnick as screenwriter for the adaptation of Scott McCloud's acclaimed fantasy drama series about David Smith, who is giving his life for his art, literally. Thanks to a deal with death, the young sculptor gets his childhood wish to sculpt anything he can imagine with his bare hands. But now that he only has 200 days to live, deciding what to create is harder than he thought, and discovering the love of his life near the end of days makes it even harder to deal with.
He loves her with all his art.
Wow. I love it. Published in 2015, the graphic novel was met with rave reviews, with rights for a movie adaptation immediately getting nabbed by Sony. Scott Rundin was originally attached to produce a movie adaptation under Sony, but then the rights reverted, etc. You know, a different company snatched up the rights. So do it right, Scott. Do not take this for granted.
Please don't. Star Wars, the franchise that basically invented secrecy during production. I mean, they take pride in it. The producers and directors always want to try and maintain as much mystery about a project as they can until it's released. But you know, fans are fans. And when it comes to Star Wars fans, they're going to blow up moviepoopshoot.com to get the scoop. Or sometimes they will spy on productions. And once in a while, there is this. A theft was reported to police on the set of The Mandalorian, the new Star Wars TV show that will debut on Disney Play. The one overseen by Jon Favreau features Dave Filoni, Taika Waititi, and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay, I'm definitely all about wanting to watch this.
The theft was of camera equipment and a memory card. Now, the memory card seems to be the biggest deal, as it's possible the data contains spoiler information for the TV show that the producers do not want being made public at this time.
Nothing public yet, according to Movie Poop Shit.
That's good. The theft apparently occurred at the Manhattan Beach set overnight when the set was dark and an inside job has not yet been ruled out by police. The theft occurred just days after Star Wars creator George Lucas had visited the crew on set.
He's the mastermind. Lucas is 11.
We deal in comedy, George. Please do not sue. No word yet if there's any sensitive information on the memory card, whether the culprits intend to make the data public.
But duh. I mean, where were you 2 days ago?
With you. Come on. I would have stole the Amban Phase Pulse Blaster and made a fan video recreating the Boba Fett Holiday Special cartoon if I'd been there.
All of it. You would have taken all of the gear, every bit of it.
Pretty much.
Not really. Crime. Because, you know, people are obsessed with it. That's why you have all those true crime shows on TV. Some say the genre peaked, though. Back in 2015, with The Jinx, The Life and Death of Robert Durst, the HBO limited series that made headlines because of the show's ending, making it one of the most amazing moments in TV history.
What was it?
Be patient. There's a new development in the case. The prosecution have asked the judge handling Durst's case to allow them to use a DVD commentary track for a movie called All Good Things as evidence. All Good Things is a 2010 film directed by Andrew Jarecki, the same guy who directed HBO's The Jinx. The movie stars Ryan Gosling playing a character heavily inspired by Durst, the wealthy real estate heir suspected of killing at least 3 people over the past 30 years. The real Durst, who was notoriously tight-lipped with journalists, actually liked Jarecki's movie and reached out to him about it, which resulted in the pair recording a commentary for the DVD release, and sparking a series of in-person interviews that would later be used in The Jinx. So now the LA Times says prosecutors in Durst's murder case have asked the judge to consider All Good Things and its publicly available DVD commentary as evidence because his comments and at times his silence while viewing constitute a tacit admission of guilt. After reading the script and watching this movie, prosecutors wrote, defendant did not sue the production company for slander, nor did he object to how the movie portrayed him.
Well, neither did Tanya Harding.
Yeah, well, we already knew she was guilty.
True.
Durst is suspected of murdering, has not been proven guilty of murdering his good friend Susan Berman in 2000, allegedly because Berman knew the truth about Durst's wife's disappearance. Kathleen Durst disappeared in 1982 and her body was never found. Durst was arrested the day before the final episode of The Jinx aired, and audience watched as Durst was confronted with evidence that seemed to directly tie him to Berman's murder. An envelope with his handwriting that misspelled Beverly Hills. The same misspelling was on an anonymous letter mailed to the police alerting them to the fact that Berman had been killed. After being confronted with this evidence in The Jinx, Durst left his microphone on and can be heard muttering the words, killed them all, of course, while in the bathroom after the interview.
You know, that does beat Frank Drebin's open mic.
Wow. I felt All Good Things was very, very, very close in much of the way about what pretty much happened, Durst said in an interview that was played in court this week. There were parts where I said, well, that's just not right. One of those parts, the depiction of him killing his dog, Igor. His failure to dispute any of the other damning allegations from the rest of the movie manifests his beliefs in the movie truth. It strains all credibility to suggest that a person being depicted as a serial killer would not have stood up and proclaimed the falsity of such an allegation. Really? Oy. So the guy denies killing Berman and his wife. The judge has not yet decided if the movie and its commentary where he admits to assaulting his wife should be allowed in the case, but he's announced that there is enough evidence for Durst to stand trial for the murder of Susan Berman. If commentaries are allowed as evidence, Leanna Damo would be sure to sue Trey Parker for open mocking on Cannibal the Musical. Well, did he openly mock her?
And you know who she did get, who she started going out with? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? Yeah, that's how you mock her. Hey, are you looking for a sustainable construction material for building your next home? Good, because you're in luck.
Oh,
students in South Africa have just the thing for you.
Did you mean to say that?
Yeah, of course I did. Suzanne Lambert and Vuketa Mukari have come up with a breakthrough with help from University of Cape Town civil engineering professor Dr. Dylan Randall. They figured out how to produce bio bricks from human urine.
That's a pisser.
Bacteria are added to the mixture of urine and sand.
Like good bacteria.
Yeah. The bacteria go to work in the urine, breaking it down and producing calcium carbonate. Dr. Randall says the process is not unlike how seashells are formed.
Seashells by the seashore.
Except for the part where human urine is the starting point for them. And sea creatures are pretty happy about that, as are most of our ears. Unlike standard bricks, these don't ever need to be fired in a kiln. They drastically reduce the carbon footprint. They're also zero waste.
Huh.
Even negative waste, considering what the bricks are made from. As an added bonus, potassium and nitrogen are created as byproducts of the brick-making process. Once they've been captured, they can be used to make fertilizer.
This is pretty cool.
This is just the latest in a string of pretty amazing scientific advances involving urine. Almost a decade ago, Geraldine Bott developed a urine-powered car. 4 years ago, scientists in Singapore created a urine battery for medical devices. A team of enterprising Belgians turned urine into beer. And let's not forget about the time Bill Gates drank a glass of processed human waste for science.
Nope.
You do not want to hear about their breakthrough for foundations, though. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. If you've got great ideas for how to use urine, I mean, let's hear your liquid gold stories. Please tell us. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or you could always send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREP.
I mean, we could come up with something great, and we know people. We could get this thing marketed. We can make a mint. It'll be fantastic. Pee. That's funny.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
Good night, suckers!
No more of your long stories, all right?
Yeah, people aren't used to boring podcasts.
Look, the situation is that apparently a great white shark has staked a claim in the waters off Amity Island. And he is going to continue to feed here as long as there is food in the water.
And there's no limit to what he's going to do. I mean, we've already had 3 incidents. 2 people killed inside of a week, and it's going to happen again. It happened before.
The Jersey Beach, 1916,
there were 5 people chewed up in the surf.
In 1 week.
Tell him about the swimmers.
A shark is attracted to the exact kind of splashing and activity that occurs whenever human beings go in swimming. You cannot avoid it.
If you open the beaches on the 4th of July, it's like ringing the dinner bell, for Christ's sake.
Look, Mr. Vaughn, I pulled a tooth the size of a shot glass out of the wrecked hull of a boat out there, and it was the tooth of a great white.
It was Ben Gardner's boat. It was all chewed up. I helped tow it in. You should have seen him.
Where is that tooth? Did you see it, Broden?
No, I didn't see it. He dropped it.
I had an accident. On the way in.
Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going to have a summer unless you deal with this problem.
We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark. I mean, we're going to have to tell the Coast Guard.
Mr. Vaughn,
we're
going to have to contract the shark
research panel. We're going to have to put extra deputies on because
you're going to have to ring
the
entire harbor.
I don't think one of you are familiar with our problems.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.